Thanks, Tim. I think by now you have a bit of a sense what scripture passage we're going to be reading from. It actually is continuing our walk through the Sermon on the Mount, the way that Matthew recalls it. And at this point, Jesus is really instructing his disciples how to live out their faith. And we learned some interesting things. So listen to this piece of the Sermon on the Mount from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our word for today. Thinking about pirates and buried treasures, it caught my eye in the paper this week when there was a review of a new pirate movie that's out right now. Listen to this description in the movie review. It starts with a quote, "I know a way to get money," end quote. Has there ever been an instance where someone said that early in a movie and things worked out well in the end? A recently laid off submarine captain hears those ominously cheerful words from a friend, and that begins a trouble-plagued journey that takes him and a ragtag crew of men into a shoddy submarine at the bottom of the Black Sea searching for Nazi gold that is rumored to be stored in an abandoned craft. Let's see, a dozen desperate men who don't trust each other, acting as a poorly trained crew on a shadowy mission in a claustrophobic space. What could possibly go wrong? You could ask the same question reading the opening pages of the book of Genesis, I think. A man, a woman, a beautiful garden, everything they need for a joyful and abundant life. What could possibly go wrong? What does go wrong in both cases is that human nature takes over. Whether it's coveting the luscious fruit in the Garden of Eden, hoarding manna in the wilderness, searching for Nazi treasure, or staking our future on the success of the stock market, most of us have placed our trust in the wrong treasure. If only we would trust God. Yet most of us are caught up pursuing exactly the kind of treasures that Jesus is talking about that moths can chew up. Take a look at my closet and you can see what happens to the things that we stockpile over time. In a book he wrote just a few years back called Richistan, Wall Street Journal columnist Robert Frank interviewed the ultra-rich in America, the kind of people who own their own jets and live in 300,000 square foot homes that have leather toilet seats. And he was surprised to learn that they were plagued by anxiety. So he dug deeper, trying to understand what kind of anxiety the ultra-rich might feel. And it turns out they were worried about running out of money. When they were asked how much they'd need to feel secure, the millionaires said that they'd need at least $2 million. The people who had $10 million said that they'd need at least $20 million. The people who had $100 million said $200 million. No one said that they would feel secure unless they had twice what they already had. So I wonder, is it fair to say that there is really no amount that we as human beings can possess that will guarantee our security for the long haul? Contrast that to what Jesus says to his disciples. Your heavenly Father knows what you need before you even ask him. Your heavenly Father knows what you need before you even ask him. With a father like that, who loves us and who knows us and who is master of the universe because he created everything that's in it, why would we ever be anxious about anything? But the sad thing is, most of us don't even need the stuff that we shag after every day of our lives. We don't need more stuff. We don't need more success. We don't need more friends. We don't need more wealth. What most of us really need is things like more faith, more humility, more joy, more peace, more patience, more rest, more renewal. I think we get so caught up, myself included, in how the world works that we forget how God works. We forget how well God knows us, and we forget that God will provide everything that is needed. I kind of feel that way about this sabbatical that I'm going on. I don't think, even though we have a sabbatical policy here at Redeemer, I don't think I ever would have asked for one. Actually, it was Ken who asked for sabbatical. Ken has been doing these international traveling classroom trips for several years with his university, and he's good at it, but it takes everything out of him to be away from home for 3 months or more at a stretch. And the last time he was on a semester-long trip, he told me he didn't think he would do it again. It's just too hard to be apart for that long. And yet, as soon as he got back from the trip, within a week, I think, the administration called him and asked him if he would lead a trip in 2015. And so he turned to me and he said, "Pam, would you come with me?" Well, you know what I said? "Are you nuts? That's Lent, that's Holy Week, that's Easter. I'm a pastor. What are you thinking? I can't go with you." And even as the words were coming out of my mouth, a thought was entering my head. There is a Lilly Foundation, and they give pastors grants for sabbaticals. So I told Ken, "Well, it's totally nuts, but I'll ask the council at Redeemer if they'd let me apply for one of those clergy renewal grants." So I go to the council, and I think they're gonna say, "Are you nuts?" And they don't. When I tell them this grant is a long shot because it's such an incredible gift, hardly anybody gets it. They didn't say to me, well, why waste your time? What they said is, go for it. Apply for that grant. And Pam, if you don't get that grant, you're still going because we can make it happen here. I couldn't believe it. Well, and I still didn't believe that the Lilly Foundation would ever accept a grant proposal for such a cockamamie idea as going with my husband on a trip to Europe for 3 months. They wouldn't waste their money on something like that, would they? But we worked hard to fill out that grant application, and Tom Will practically sweat blood for that application. It was hard, hard work, but what we learned in working on that grant application was that there was a huge opportunity for congregational renewal connected to that grant, and we started to imagine the possibilities for our whole congregation to be renewed. And so we sent off our application thinking, well, we've done the best that we can do. It's in God's hands now. We've done all that we can do. And I was positive, absolutely positive, that the Lilly Foundation would say no. But they didn't. And I have a feeling that God's hand is in this, providing exactly what we need, and we never even asked, but God's led us somehow to this season of renewal that is ours as pure gift. And we didn't even pray for it, but as I thought about it, we have been praying this prayer that Jesus taught us faithfully as a community, this prayer that Jesus gives us again as a gift, where he focuses us and says, when you have needs, don't go anywhere else. You go directly to God, who is your heavenly Father. And when you go to God, Jesus wants us to know, he insists that we know, no, God loves you, and God wants to provide you everything you need. That's who you need to pray to, nowhere else. William Barclay calls this prayer, or says we should call this prayer, the disciples' prayer, because it encompasses everything that a disciple would ever need in life. We pray not only for every essential human need in this prayer, but we address every sphere of time in our lives, present, past, future, lifting it into God's embrace. And we address every aspect of God that we know in this prayer: Father, Creator, Savior, Son, Holy Spirit, our guide and comforter. First, we pray this. Would you pray with me? Give us this day our daily bread. With this petition, we ask God to provide us everything that is needed for daily life. We are turning to the Creator of the universe, the one who created everything from nothing, trusting that our small needs will be met, because God loves us and will use all that's in his power to provide for us. Second, we pray this: and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. We pray for the forgiveness of our sins, bringing before God our past, all of it, trusting that God will heal us and correct us. And our bringing the past in front of God and laying it down brings us to the cross of Christ, where all of our sins and all of our debts to God and to one another, and finally even to ourselves, are forgiven. And third, we pray this: and do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. We ask for God's help in temptation, putting our future in the hands of God to guide us into life and out of the hands of the evil one. And in that request, we are inviting the Holy Spirit, our comforter, our advocate, to be our guide and to be our guardian every step of our lives. In this simple prayer, Jesus leads us to the understanding that our treasure, all of it, lies with our Father who is in heaven. We don't have to go searching for treasure anywhere else. This is where it is. Thanks be to God.